Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Mental health in the Black community is so stigmatized. People are more afraid of being labeled crazy than actually living with a mental illness. Like, it's so ironic that people will read every single self-help book there is instead of just going to therapy. Mental health is real, people, and we all have problems. So why not be the best version of you? And if that includes therapy, what's the worst that could happen? Hey everyone, this is therapist KP, aka Kiwasha Naomi, and we are here once again for Mental Unwind. On this episode, we're going to talk about something that's interesting that most people aren't aware of. It's career counseling. I know that many people are unfamiliar with what it is, but we have a wonderful guest here. I know you guys remember Dr. Dickerson. I got lots of emails and comments about that. So we have someone that she works with that is super, super dope as well. His name is Dr. Harrison Davis. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. So I am Dr. Harrison Davis, and I am a associate professor of counseling. I have a private practice in Sandy Springs, Georgia, and I'm also a fellow podcaster. One of the things that I like to do in my private practice, I see adults primarily for adjustment issues, depression, anxiety, lots of couples. And also, one of my specialties is career counseling. You know, I started doing that right after my master's degree and working at two separate universities at the counseling center, university counseling centers. And part of what we do is career counseling. And I enjoy doing career counseling. I understand career counseling. I teach career counseling.
Really?
And I teach it from a clinical perspective.
That's interesting.
I really enjoy. You got to know how to do it. You know,
it is true. It is definitely a specialty. It's a requirement. So for those of you who don't know, when you're in your master's program and you're doing a community counseling or clinical counseling or whatever it is, you have to take a career counseling class. And it's interesting that you said that you take it from a clinical perspective.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's really, really awesome. The professor that I had, she also did that, but she also taught us that she's like, not everyone does it this way.
Yeah.
She also taught us both ways. So I think that's really, really cool. So I'm going to kind of jump into this really quick. So what is career counseling?
So career counseling, it's not easy to define, but it's actually counseling within the context of career, job, the amount of leisure that you want and the way you want to live your life and what role will your job play in your life? What role will your career play within your goals that you have for yourself? So we talk about all of that. It's not about what can you do? And let's go get the job that matches what you want to do. You know, we got to talk about your lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, we got to talk about your personal goals, how you interact with different people, and how you like to make decisions. And what type of environment do you want to spend a great deal, significant amount of time every week? You know, we spend 40 plus hours.
True.
A week at our job, sometimes 60 plus, and it needs to match into your world.
Absolutely.
As opposed to you making adjustments into your job and your career. So I'll talk about all of that. Talk about career crisis, losing a job, being laid off, younger individuals trying to figure out what direction to go into, and middle-aged individuals who are discovering this job is not for me. I got this career, this degree 15, 20 years ago, and I've been doing it, but I'm really sick of it. So let's discover, you know, what you really want to do.
Yeah.
So if I could define career counseling, that's how I would define it.
Okay, that is a really great explanation. Who would you say, a lot of times when people, based on that explanation, I think the lay person, the average person not in the field would think about, as you mentioned, I guess college kids, right? They would think about college kids trying to figure out what it is they want to do. But I love that you mentioned that people who are going into a second career or...
Yeah. Sometimes they're forced.
Forced to because they got laid off for whatever reason or the industry that they're in is just changing or
Absolutely.
It's just not there anymore. So how do we figure, you know, what they're going to do about this this new change. Or
and how to deal with a crisis on your current job.
Yeah.
You know, how to deal with a boss who's not, he's an asshole. You
yeah.
know, how do you deal with a toxic work environment? Mm-hmm. That's also part of career counseling.
And I think I do want to delve into that part particularly because, so I'm a millennial. I'm 30.
I'm a Gen Xer. Let me just put that. I'm at the top end, too. Let me just put that out there.
Well, I'm smack dab in the middle where it's just like, you know, I do have some Gen X ideals. And then what's the generation after? Is it Gen Z? Is that it?
I think that's the ones. Keep up with it.
So the ones after us. So we're just kind of. I'm familiar with cassette tapes and sitting in front of the radio to record it. But I also know mm-hmm. about you know the just streaming music. So I'm at that age where I know both.
Gotcha.
but one of the things with my particular age group of millennials and even the younger ones and the generation coming up is we'll leave a job.
Yes, you will.
We sure will leave a job very quickly, and we're great. We get criticized for that quite a bit. But the one thing I will say that I agree with this particular part of the criticism in that a lot of times we leave a job because we're unhappy, but then we don't know where to go.
Yes, you don't know where to find that happiness.
And we don't know exactly. And we don't know what to do. And so one of the things, so I myself, you know, I could have probably done well with getting some career counseling myself because I was
all
in corporate.
Mm-hmm.
For a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good at my corporate job. Mm-hmm. I'm still technically in corporate, mm-hmm. right? So I'm part-time into the mental health field.
Gotcha.
Because
you're making it work.
Corporate pays very well.
That's something else to consider.
Corporate pays very well, and I'm good at it. It's mindless work
mm-hmm.
for me. Like, you know, sitting, making presentations, manuals, training stuff, all of that is mindless work
gotcha.
For me. But my heart, I always say that corporate pays... It feeds my bank account, but counseling
gotcha.
Feeds my soul.
Gotcha.
Right? And so for me, it took me a while to realize that, you know what? You need to find something that feeds your soul. And it's not that even that I hated my job. I was just bored out of my mind.
I know the feelings.
And so how would you counsel someone like me if I came to you just like, hey, it's not a toxic environment. Mm-hmm. It's not a situation of, you know, I hate my job. Mm-hmm. I actually like what I'm doing kind mm-hmm. of, you know, I'm just bored and I'm not really sure. I'm kind of interested in this. I'm kind of interested in that. Yeah. What approach would you take for that?
So maybe some scattered interest. I would talk to you about that boredom that you're feeling. And we would sort of assess boredom really equals a certain level of dissatisfaction. So mm-hmm. we would assess that dissatisfaction that you're experiencing, you know, to discover what is it that you're bored about within your current job? What aspects of it do you like? You may be in denial and convincing yourself that it's simply boredom, but it may be bordering on you becoming annoyed with it. Mm-hmm. We can assess all of that. But the goal would be to help you to discover what is that job or that career that can bring you happiness. And you can wake up at 4 a.m. ready to go to work because you enjoy it. And you got to enjoy all aspects of it, including the salary with it.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to leave your current job. We got to put things into perspective.
Yeah.
You know, what are you gaining out of that? And what I can also talk to you about, how is that job, that boring job,
mm-hmm.
allowing you to do other things
yeah.
that you enjoy? We can talk about that, too. Sometimes we got to make some adjustments with those jobs as long as we're not compromising ourselves too much so we can go do the other things that we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing your mental health thing. You're doing your podcast. You know, you're doing other things. You know, I would ask you, would you be able to do all these things without that boring corporate job?
No.
So we can talk about how we can possibly... develop a new perspective
okay.
on it and appreciate it for what it gives you.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to hoping for you to receive something more out of that job, you know, perhaps there are limitations to it. And we can put all of that into perspective and make some good conscious decisions, healthy decisions for you.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
What I would do.
And so one of the things I'm glad that you mentioned assessing. So when I was in grad school, we had to do the strong interest inventory. Yes. And so that is, for those of you who don't know, let me know if I'm wrong about this, if my memory is correct. Basically, it's a personality test for jobs. It's kind of how she kind of summarized. She's like, it's like a personality test for jobs.
That's a nutshell.
Yeah, label. Very condensed form of it. That is not the clinical definition of what it is.
The part of the goal of the strong interest inventory is to help you to discover some of your personal preferences.
Yeah.
And things that you like to do, and they match up those personal preferences about your personality with other people who are part of the norm group, and they're going to match you up with someone else who had the same type of personal preferences and personality, and then they discover which jobs and careers do they like. And so they just simply generate a list of jobs that may match your personality based on this norm group out here, which they have a lot of research on, so you can just discover some options.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Yeah. That I will say that I was lucky enough that I did. My personality does fit with counseling.
Good.
It does. So I was lucky that my personality fit with it. It also fit with my corporate job, too. So okay. I was just like, all right, okay. That makes sense. And there were other people in my class who, ironically, counseling was not within that realm.
My students,
yeah,
sometimes.
It was not within their realm, and they really had to. You know, my professor, she was great. She just was like, okay, well, let's really evaluate. You know, what you're in therapy for, what you're going into the counseling field for, and how is this going to work with you? Because based on this, right, when we're not saying that you can't do it,
that's correct.
But based on this, it doesn't seem like one, you either will enjoy it, or if you do enjoy it, that you're not going to be fulfilled in other areas, which can create a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
What I like to suggest when I see that in my students sometimes, you know, what type of adjustments are you going to have to make to ensure this is a long-term career option for you so that you're still enjoying it 10, 15, 20 years down the road? When you're in grad school and you graduate, you know, you're excited about your job and you're going to go out there and do it. However, over time, we need to sustain that level of excitement.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't appear on your strong interest inventory as one of your top 10 options, you know, we just need to talk about what can you do to if you're committed to that career field, you know, what can we do to make some adjustments? Because you may have some personal limitations with that career field that some of your classmates might not.
Yeah. And that is how she kind of explained it, which I think is great. You know, it's one of those, she jokingly said this, but there is some truth to it. She's like, you know, there's a lot of people who want to be singers but can't sing.
Yep.
She's like, so we need some Kirk Franklins out there who acknowledge that they can't sing, but they'll write, they could write music.
Find your niche.
Exactly. It's like, you know, he can't sing. Everybody knows it, but he'll talk over every record.
He sure will.
And he can arrange stuff and he can put it together, but singing is not his calling. Yep. And he probably did want to sing, but he recognized that that's not what it was. So maybe counseling, you can find other ways to be in counseling. Maybe not doing the one-on-one sessions. Maybe you can teach. Right. Or maybe you can find other ways to be in the field if this is what you want.
Yeah, we talk about those other options. You know, doesn't mean that you're not going to be successful in that field. However, we need to be prepared for you hitting a personal wall with that particular job or a career field. And I want to help you to prepare for it. You know, that's what we talk about. It's not so much about job performance and whether or not you can do it. Are you going to like it?
Yeah.
That Monday morning is raining 10 years down the road. You got to get up and go to work. You know, are you going to be excited about it? Or are you going to be cursing in the car? That's the question.
This is true. And with counseling, it's one of those things where, you know, I always have to tell people one of the reasons why I'm still at my corporate job. I was like, I would be an ineffective therapist or probably a terrible therapist if I didn't have the income that I had from my corporate job.
Yeah.
Because I can't be an effective therapist if I'm worried about bills.
Okay. So the other reality is you got to know the realities with the career field that you are choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is understanding the salary range for it, geographical issues associated with it. What's the typical day like, you know, for a counselor? That's why we have practicum and internship, you know, so you can realize what it's like when you have 8-9 clients in one day and 3 of them are suicidal, 2 of them have an eating disorder, you know, and others are
psychotic
or in a crisis, you know, in their own head. you know, and we got to understand that's what you're going to have to deal with on a daily basis. And we need to know what we're getting into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to get to something. I don't want to necessarily say a little bit lighter, but I had a friend, and I think I was mentioning to you earlier. So I had a friend who was really shocked when I told her you can go to quote unquote regular therapy for career counseling. She just didn't know how it is, how you can do that. So career counseling is something that you can go to as long as you have mental health insurance. You can, and tell me if I'm wrong, you can go and get career counseling.
You can pay for it out of pocket too if you want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you sure can.
How would that work? So people don't understand, like, how would they look for a therapist or try to find, because a lot of times you don't really see that, in all honesty. It's kind of hard to find y'all.
Well, I encourage people to, when they're looking for a counselor or a therapist, first go to your insurance and discover who's on your provider list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you want to use your insurance, and that's the reason why you have it. It's why you pay for it on a monthly basis. And then from that list, you just go online now and see who's available in your zip code or in your city, and then you can go research them. You know, you can go check them out. You can go Google them and see if they have a website. And if they indicate on their website somewhere that they do career counseling, that would be great. You know, because that's not going to be one of the options on the insurance plan that you have. You can click in the specialty for your therapist that you're looking for.
Yeah.
We're going to see the hardcore clinical things. We're not going to see career counseling. But you can call and ask. You can send an email. And I receive those emails. A lot of my clients for career counseling are actually through referrals.
Yeah.
So other clients or former clients, they go and tell their friends and family members and coworkers, and they come out to see me as well. And other therapists send me referrals specifically for career counseling because they want to work on the other stuff, and this issue pops up.
Yeah.
And they want them to get some career counseling. So there are a number of ways you can do it. I encourage people just type in Career Counselor Atlanta. And Google.
Okay.
And see what comes up and see who
knows all.
Yeah, whose website has information about career counseling.
Okay. That's pretty awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that. One of the things that I was mentioning to a friend earlier with regards to career counseling is, so she has, and I'm allowed to use this story, so I'm not revealing anything. This is actually a friend.
Don't mention her name.
I was like, this is actually a friend. I got permission. So basically, with her, she's, most of my friends are older. So she's, in her 40s, and she actually has been a stay-at-home mom for most of her adult life.
Gotcha.
Right? And so now she went to college, and right out of college, she got married and had a baby within a year.
Gotcha.
And now she's like, all right, my kids are grown.
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do with my life? I don't even know if I even want to work. She's like, I know I want to work. I want to do something. Mm-hmm. And so she's battling with more so, now that my kids are grown, do I have a purpose?
Gotcha.
And do you find that pop up a lot? Because a lot of times, whether we want to acknowledge it a lot, one of the first things that we ask people is, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Because our career is tied so much into our identity.
Absolutely.
And so how do you deal with someone like that? It's just like, okay, like what? How am I going to go about this?
So luckily, as a licensed professional counselor, I can help her with the career counseling and the personal growth counseling that she's looking for. You know, some existential counseling may be something that she would find beneficial in addition to the career counseling. She just wants to find out, now that she's raised her kids, you know, that part of her life, you know, is changing as a transition. She doesn't have to be there for them like she was when they were much younger. Now, what's her role? Now, they're going off to college, getting married, doing things. They're out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, now she's possibly trying to figure out what's her role in this life. And we can assess that. We can help her to find out what is it that's going to bring her some satisfaction, whether it is a job or something she can do on a personal level. But it sounds like she may be just bored sitting around the house checking up on her kids on college campus, you know, and they're telling her, Mom, do something. But I've had that on a few occasions, that type of client. And it's not always a job that can bring them satisfaction. Sometimes just a change in their lifestyle. Sometimes just finding some volunteer service work that they want to do. Getting involved in something that they can bring some passion to it. That would be a start just to assess all of that. You know, if you don't need a job, you know, you don't need a career, you know, then why are we going to go look for one? But you can certainly volunteer to find some projects that you may enjoy. Coincidentally, one of the things I have been really encouraging over the past few years when I do career counseling, and for that particular client as well that you just mentioned, a case example, I've started talking about entrepreneurship. Mm. You know, in an undergrad, that's not talked about a lot. You know, an undergrad in Votech schools, they're trying to get you out there so you can get a job with a company.
Yeah.
Even in the business bachelor's degree program. So I'm introducing the whole concept of entrepreneurship to a lot of my clients. You know, you don't have to work for somebody. You can create your own job. And for that particular client you talked about, she may have the resources where she doesn't necessarily have to go fill out an application and work for somebody. She can create her own job. She can create her own project and put her energy into it. I will talk about that with her. What's the possibility of you taking an entrepreneurial path throughout the rest of your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very good stuff. I think the final scenario that I do want to talk about, which I actually emailed a couple of my friends to ask questions.
Gotcha.
And one of the things, how do you deal with a toxic environment? I remember at my previous job, and I saved this for last because I feel like you're probably going to have a lot to say on this. I remember at my previous corporate job, my body was literally rejecting work. And I know people want to laugh about
it. It was reacting.
It was.
To your job environment.
It was.
Okay.
It really was. And when I say my body was rejecting work, it was. So I lived on the same street that my job was.
Okay.
So I had to make no turns except for out of my parking lot in my old apartment into that.
So not a whole lot of boundaries between your personal life and your job.
So there was that, but not even that. I could not get to work on time for the life of me.
You didn't want to.
I could not get to work on time for anything. Like, I was always like 5 minutes late. But and mind you, I had to get to work at 9 o'clock. It took me at most 15 minutes to get to work.
Okay.
And I was still late. Saturday, Sunday, I'm up. The sun comes up. I am up, ready to take on the world.
You're excited.
And that's how I was just like, my body is rejecting this place. Like, it is rejecting.
I would have theorized your spirit is rejecting that work environment. More than your body, your whole spirit is telling you this is not for you. And it's difficult for you to get energized and motivated for something that you're not interested in, even especially if it's not a healthy environment for you.
Yeah. So how do you deal with so the environment itself was just one, it was just very high stress, poor management. And by poor management, a lot of people want to talk about poor management, but poor management in that, you know, if you work in corporate, a lot of times people will tell you like upper management, they'll make promises to the client, but they're not the ones that are doing the job. And then, so it's one of those, we can get this done by this. And then they go to the people actually doing the job and they're like, no, we can't.
Yeah, they make decisions for you and expect you to carry them out.
Yeah, or get mad and you get in trouble when you can't fulfill this promise that was made without your knowledge or you consult. And it's just like, this actually cannot be done in this time frame. Why did you tell them
that? But they're expecting you to do it.
Exactly.
And they have a lot of power because if you don't do it, then you're going to get a poor evaluation or just a negative consequence for you. But I like to talk about this with my clients. I see that a lot in a toxic environment. Looks different for different people. But sometimes, you know, I got to talk the language of my clients. Sometimes we just got to call it what it is. Sometimes you have a boss who's an asshole, you know, and they're not looking out for you. You know, they're only looking out for personal interests, you know, or they may be trying to sabotage you or they're trying to cut you out putting more focus on someone else and cutting you out of the possibility of promotion. And then there are some very scary toxic environments out there where people are yelling at people and criticizing them and, you know, and they feel trapped, you know, because they need that job to pay for their family and food and rent and things like that. So a toxic environment can affect your body.
Yeah.
It can affect your mind. It can affect your spirit. As a matter of fact, a lot of my clients come in because of their drinking or poor decision making because of a negative work environment. They're trying to deal with it.
I can see
that's why they increase their drinking. That's why they're out there doing some unhealthy things, just trying to cope with it or find some balance in their life and not realizing you do have some choices in the matter. You know, we're not going to be able to control sometimes what happens in a job, work environment, but you can make a decision about where you're going to work. And we're certainly not going to allow anyone to take advantage of us or break any laws. However, I've discovered it's become increasingly more difficult to prove that someone is harassing you or causing an unhealthy work environment or even threatening you or breaking any type of work environment laws. It's become very difficult to deal with that. So I like to talk to people about what can you do so you can feel better about that job. And let's talk about your next step, you know, because if that place was meant for you, it would be easier for you to go in. If the universe wanted you to work there and remain there, they would have made it easier for you to go in. So sometimes we got to pay attention to some of those signs, pay attention to your body and your mind and spirit. And if it doesn't feel good, let's talk about some other options.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that's scary for them. They're committed, loyal to these companies and these jobs who are not loyal to them. And so that's where I got to do my work. It's an unfair world and there are some unfair things going on, but let's help you. I want to help you make some better decisions so that you're not affected by it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what's our next step and what can you do to minimize some of that stress or that pressure within the job work environment. That can be difficult.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. How would you treat a client who was dealing with, so this podcast is, I always say it's geared toward minorities, but particularly minority women.
Okay.
I always say that I love us.
I love y'all too.
How do you deal with an environment that is racist and or sexist?
Now that is tough. I'm not going to lie. That's an environment where it can really chip away at your mental health. It can chip away at your overall well-being, and staying there can be dangerous for you. But a lot of my clients, you know, they want to get back, you know, at the person or the persons or the company. And that may sound great. And perhaps we've watched movies or TV shows where they make it seem like it's easy.
Yeah.
But in reality, it is not.
Right.
You know, I help people to stand up for themselves. There are some things you can control. You know, if a peer is harassing you or making you feel uncomfortable, you have a little bit more power with that type of relationship. If it's a boss, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult. You know, I've seen where some clients spend a lot of money on a lawyer and all these electronic devices, recording things, and in the end, it got nothing out of it. Ugh. And so I like to ask, why would you want to fight that fight? Why don't you protect you? Find a new environment, you know, lick your wounds, put on your big girl britches, as my grandmama would say, and let's go find another office. Let's go find another opportunity because that one's not for you. Now, that's difficult for a lot of people to digest. You know, because you want to stick it out and you want to fight it. Sometimes that fight isn't worth it. That corporation has a team of attorneys and they're going to protect the reputation of that corporation. I've seen it. And it gets down to the point where they don't care that you were harassed. All they care about is that no one else finds out about it.
Yeah. I always tell people, you know, my friend, I have a friend that a couple friends that work in HR and they are like, yeah, I work in HR. I work for the company. They're like, you know, they like to tell you that HR is for the employee. She's like, no. I work for the company.
Their role is to protect the company.
She's like, my job is to, they've told
me
that.
Not to be the friends of the employees.
Yep.
Now, they can go back and tell the corporate office what the employees are saying, but sometimes, too many times, employees are believing, no, that's my friend.
Yeah.
They're looking out for me, and that's not the reality.
So, yeah, I definitely, well, with regards to the fight, so I'll add my two cents with that. I can understand why some people would want to fight. Sometimes it's not even about the individual. Sometimes they feel like, I need to stop this person, because if this person, yep. this person keeps getting away with it. Yep. So like, I'm not the first person they've yep. done this to.
That's
if
correct.
I leave, they're just going to keep doing it. That's how you get a 45 in the White House.
Gotcha.
That's how you get one.
Gotcha.
But
we got to ask ourselves, what is this going to cost me?
Very true.
To fight this fight. I get it. I don't question your motives or your reason, but mm-hmm. let's look at it from a practical level. What is it going to cost you financially and with your emotions and your spirit? That's what I want to talk about. And if you're ready for it, you want to do it, let's prepare for it. But I'm here to introduce some reality to you. There's going to be a cost to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've seen it. Remember Anita Hill?
Yes, that is...
So I, you know,
that was a y'all need to watch that. That is such a good
that's documentary. Just a reality that I just bring up to a lot of clients. Should she have taken them out and sued them and won? Absolutely. Stop Clarence Thomas from getting on the Supreme Court? Absolutely. Did that happen? No.
No, it didn't.
It did not.
They ridicule that poor woman.
They still are.
Yeah, you're right. I think the final, we're almost out of time, but I do have, I guess
I'll be quick.
I do kind of have one final thing with regards to, dealing with a racist or a sexist environment. What if the industry that you're going in, so I'm going to use STEM again.
Okay.
We're going to use STEM. STEM doesn't have a lot of minorities and it definitely doesn't have a lot of women. It's getting better. There's significantly an increase for a push
okay.
to get, you know, minorities and women into these spaces. However,
yes.
it's hard. So changing companies might not change the situation.
Absolutely.
Because, so it's just like, yeah, you tell me to change companies. But this industry, and I use STEM, and that's not always the case, but there's other industries. So a woman in construction, I'm sure, no matter where she's going, she's probably going to have a hard time.
An attorney.
Yeah.
A medical doctor yeah. working in a hospital.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's just like there's certain industries that
are not as welcoming.
They're not as welcoming, right? To minorities and or to minor or to women or to a minority woman,
yeah.
right? So how do you deal with a situation just like I'm a programmer. I love programming. This mm-hmm. is what I want to do and I'm passionate about it, but no matter where I go, I'm a black woman.
Gotcha.
No matter where I go, what am I supposed to do?
So I talk about that. I'll be very quick with it. You know, I help people to make adjustments to the environment sometimes. And we can talk about what can you do to better your opportunities here. Now, you know, going into it, it's going to be all white guys. And they may even be older than you or some even younger than you. But they come from a different environment, different
yeah.
background. And you're going to be the only black woman, the only person of color in that department. So I have to ask them sometimes and help them to understand you going into this environment, we have to make some adjustments there.
Absolutely.
When you go home, you can be whoever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to whatever you want to listen to. You can talk any way you want to talk. But when you're in that environment, what can you do to make sure that you are part of that team? Just like football players, it doesn't matter what high school or college you attended.
Yeah.
Now you're on this pro team and you're going to have to fit into this culture. And I help clients to ask themselves that question. How can I fit into this culture? There's nothing wrong with learning about golf. There's nothing wrong with understanding what do they like to do, what type of hobbies are they interested in. You don't necessarily have to do it, but you may have to engage in a conversation about that particular
mm-hmm.
hobby. Is that fair? Hell no. But you asked me, how do I help them to navigate
yeah.
that racist system? Going in, isolating yourself is not in your best interest. Alienating yourself and pointing yourself, I'm different from you, so I don't have to do a damn thing. I'm going to come in here and be me. That may not help anybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You know, a person, a redneck from the South, who goes to IT school, becomes a programmer, IT exec, a person, and he moves to the North, to New York, he's going to have to fit in. He's white, just like his coworkers, but he comes from a different culture.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fit in with that brand new New York culture,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to learn what they like until you decide to go back, start your own firm,
okay.
or find one where you would be much more invited. And there are still some limitations to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what if you had your own company? Your own office. You're the boss. You set the tone. You have a certain culture in that particular environment. And someone comes in trying to disrupt
mm-hmm.
that culture. And you're like, no, this is what I like. This is what I created. So I like to sometimes take off those layers of racism. I don't deny it. Mm-hmm. You know, let's take the layers off and let's talk about where you're going. We have to fit into that culture until we go somewhere and create our own culture. Until then, sometimes we have to make adjustments.
Okay.
And you may be surprised by how that opens up new opportunities for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to wrap it up right now. I'm going to give you the opportunity to make any other pubs that you want, your social media pubs.
Sure. So again, I am Dr. Harrison Davis, and you can check me out at harrisondavis.com. That would be for my private practice or doing any type of training, organizational development. And also I have my own podcast, Two Therapists and a Microphone, with Dr. Aisha Dickerson. And you can check us out on www.twotherapists.com. That's T-W-O, therapist with an S.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you all for joining me today. Wish you all the best. And as always, work on being the best version of you. All opinions shared on this podcast are solely that of the participants and do not reflect the views of any governing mental health professional board. The host of this podcast has received written consent to share any and all stories that have been presented.